it's not unusual for someone to make learning a new language a resolution for the new year. While it can certainly be a rewarding experience, it can also be a big undertaking. There are things like figuring out unfamiliar pronunciations or understanding verb conjugation, and of course, finding time to focus on learning in the first place. A little earlier this year, we talked with a language instructor who said there's also lots of joy to be found in the process. And she joined us to share some advice on how we can start learning a language at any age. Sage Gellner is an associate professor of French and continuing education at UW-Madison. She's also the chair of the Department of Liberal Arts and Applied Studies. Sage, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Judith, for having me on.
Well, we've recently asked our listeners to tell us about things that they were learning, and language came up from a couple different people. Here's what Eva in Greendale told Central Time host Rob Ferret about why she started learning Korean.
I recently got into K-pop, and usually that's a frowned upon reason to start learning Korean. But I started listening to the music, and I fell in love with the beauty of the language and how complex it was. So I looked into it, I found an app, and some of my friends are learning it too. So I've decided to learn it from them and to use this app to challenge myself and challenge my thinking, especially over this summer.
That's such a cool reason for learning a particular language. What are some of the other reasons you hear from people about why they want to start learning a new language?
I just want to commend the person who's learning Korean and say that K-pop has been really influential in Korean enrollments in
That's
our
so
programs,
interesting.
In our evening programs. Korean is having a resurgence. So there's a proverb that goes that you live a new life for each language that you speak. And that's really, I think, one of the main reasons people want to learn new languages. In the courses I teach and oversee, a lot of people are traveling and they want to be able to connect more deeply with the people and the cultures.
Actually be able to interact.
Yeah. Be able to interact. Traveling to places like Italy, France, and my colleague does courses in Spanish, so Spain and Latin America. Definitely, that's a reason. There are also ancestry reasons. Many of our many people in Wisconsin have German heritage and want to learn about their family tree. Want to read old letters, so they will pick up German. Those are just some of the many reasons.
And does it matter why we want to learn, how we might want to go about it? Like if it's for travel, maybe we want to focus on really useful everyday terminology. But if we're like really drawn to maybe a form of literature, that's a very different type of language. Is that something to take into account when you're deciding?
Absolutely. I think not only you want to think about the language that pulls you, that calls you, but also the reasons why you want to learn it and to make that endeavor meaningful to you. So if your goal is to read Proust, then you're going to be your learning style. You're going to tailor your learning style differently. You're going to do a lot of reading as opposed to listening, for example, working on your vocabulary and such. If your goal is to communicate with your mother-in-law, because that's another reason people learn a language is because they have bicultural spouses or families, your reasons or the things you are learning will be different, but the key is to make it meaningful for your learning.
What are some realistic goals to set as we're starting out learning a new language? I mean, reading Proust is a pretty lofty goal. And I studied Russian for a long time, and there's a lot of Russian literature that I know I am never going to be able to read. I'm never going to be at that level. What are some good, really concrete goals that we can feel a sense of accomplishment fairly quickly?
Well, I think goal setting is great, and keeping them easy and fun, keeping your preliminary goals easy and fun is really key. Greetings, weather, colors, feelings. These are things that we can attain easily. And I also think memorizing the words to your favorite song in the language you're studying is a nice goal to have. And really, when you're starting out learning a language as an adult, I think it's really helpful to start with listening and to just have music, news, podcasts, all kinds of, you know, audio in the background, because our brains really need to get used to the sounds and rhythms of the new language.
We're talking with Sage Gellner right now. She's an associate professor of French and continuing education at UW-Madison. And we're talking about the joy of learning languages at a, we'll say, older age, out of school age, and ways to go about it, because it can be a little intimidating. So, Sage, let's say I wake up tomorrow. Actually, every day I wake up and think that I would love to study a new language. What if I think, okay, this is the year I'm going to do it. I'm going to start. What's a good way to start?
I start by taking the first step, whatever that is for you. If it's tuning your radio to your favorite station, whether it's signing up for the evening class, whether it's finding a language table in your community, or looking on meetup.com for a language partner. It could be, the first step could be labeling your silverware in the target language and your household furnishings.
There used to be a whole series of workbooks that had those stickers for everything.
Yes.
And I never used them all, but I just, you know, had this image of like, you literally couldn't look at anything or pick up anything without a little label.
That's right.
On your toothbrush and on the oven and things like that.
And not just reading it, but saying it.
Right.
When you touch it. Yeah.
So what if we maybe study the language years and years ago in school, but haven't really done anything with it? Does that give you a little bit of a leg up if you go back to it, even if it's decades later?
Absolutely. I have an older gentleman who came back to French, took a course with me at the French House after 40 years, I think. He had taken French in high school and not spoken a word of it since. And he had a wonderful time just reconnecting with the language and remembering things and the fun turns of phrase and the ways that we express things differently in different languages.
Is there something to be said for learning a language because we want to instead of because we have to? I'm thinking, you know, yes, maybe there are quizzes and tests in the maybe the app that you're using to learn or the class that you're taking, but that's not going on a report card that is, you know, going to follow you for however long. It's a way to gauge yourself, but it takes some of the pressure off.
Yeah, I think I feel that a lot, that intrinsic motivation, because I work mostly with returning adult students and they want to come to this class because they want to learn French. And same goes for my colleagues in German and Spanish and Portuguese and the whole list of the languages that we offer at UW, even in the evening classes, continuing studies. It's really that... That meaningful motivation that really keeps you connected with your project of learning your language.
Let's go to the phones, and Judy in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Judy.
Hello there.
Hi, what would you like to share?
I would like to share that I am having a marvelous time learning sign language with one of my grandchildren. We now play games like Go Fish, using sign numbers to ask for each other's cards and the fish sign for Go Fish. But it's more than that, and I just picked up a book, brought it over there. When we're together, we learn some vocabulary, and I think it's been a great way, and I know it's learning a language is preventative for Alzheimer's, so all good.
That's wonderful. How old is your grandchild that you're doing this with, Judy?
We started this when she was 4.5, and she will be 7.
Wow.
So we have quite a vocabulary that we can... We can share.
And had you always been interested in sign language? How did you choose that language in particular?
It was more, what would I have time to do? And because I do babysit with her, I had the time already in my calendar. So it was perfect. Besides, she's very quick and she loves it.
Wow. Well, that's just a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Judy. Sage, that hits so many of the great reasons to share with someone you care about, to, as she said, prevent, decline mentally. And And now I'm sure that Judy can also interact with deaf people who she wouldn't normally be able to communicate with.
And I think that's a language that we often overlook, American Sign Language. And there's a great need for interpreters and people who can speak that language. I also think it's a really fun language to think about learning because it's motion and speaking. And so when we're thinking about cognitive benefits of learning things as we age and neuroplasticity of the brain, combining movement with language learning is really powerful.
We're listening back to a conversation with Sage Gellner, Associate Professor of French and Continuing Education at UW-Madison. We're talking about how to learn a new language at any age. And we want to hear from you. Is learning a new language one of your New Year's resolutions? Are you learning a new language right now? And if so, how's it going? What challenges have you run into? If you want to learn a new language but haven't gotten started yet, what are some of the things that have gotten in your way? Send us an email at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time, WPR. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're listening back to our conversation with Sage Gellner about learning a new language. She's an associate professor of French and continuing education at UW-Madison and the chair of the Department of Liberal Arts and Applied Studies. And we want to hear from you. Have you ever tried to learn a new language? Were there learning techniques or tricks that really helped you learn it? Or maybe some that didn't? You can let us know by emailing us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at CentralTimeWPR. And we heard that little clip from our listener, Eva, from Greendale earlier. She mentioned a language app that she's using. What do we know about how useful apps and other software is for language learning?
We know that they can be very useful as additions to your project. My students swear by Duolingo. They use it, and it's a fun little app. It's free, and it gamifies your learning experience. So you actually level up, and if you don't do the app one day, the owl gets a sad face, and so it incorporates that sort of play into the language, and so there's that one, but there are myriad other apps that can help, and just what we can do with technology these days. There are YouTube tutorials on pronunciation of certain things that are hard for English speakers to do, for example. Podcasts. It's pretty exciting.
I've also heard there's something that I think it's called Slow News, and I think it's in not a lot of languages, but it's current events news at half the speed, I believe. So if you want to kind of incorporate staying up to date on what's going on in the world, but also practice your language, it sounds like there are things like that as well.
That's a fantastic resource, and one that I recommend often. And the reason why I recommend it, why it works so well, is that it stays when you're learning something new. There's the comfort zone, there's the learning zone, and then there's the panic zone. And when you listen to real time, let's say Spanish news, you're in the panic zone. You're not getting it. And we don't take into account the role that emotion can play in our language learning. So the news in slow French or news in slow Spanish is great because it's right in our learning zone. And there's even a transcript of the spoken part, so you can go back and catch things you might have missed.
And I will say that one of the best situations, and it's not always easy to find, is when you can watch a movie in a language that you're learning and see subtitles in that same language instead of in English. So it's the same kind of thing. You're hearing it and you're reading it, and they don't always match up. I have noticed that.
Yeah.
But that, to me, I always know that I'm learning in those situations.
Yeah, that's really helpful because, as you know, the reading skills come faster generally for people than the listening skills. So to have that extra scaffolding in the form of the subtitle is great.
We're talking with Sage Gellner right now about learning languages as an adult. She's an associate professor of French and continuing education at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And let's go to Jerry in Johnson Creek. Hi, Jerry. Oh, we lost Jerry. Let's go to Ben in Toma instead. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I had an opportunity to live and work in Peru a while ago, and I learned Spanish, you know, via just immersion, and it was rapid, you know, 3 months really uncomfortable after that. It was good, but then I came back, I wanted to learn, you know, something else, and I was looking into German, but I just find it so difficult to, you know, learn the language without somebody to speak it with, without like that immersion experience that I had when I was in Peru, and I kind of just dropped it, unfortunately. But then what would you say, like, what kind of resources are there out there for, you know, looking for like a language partner or someone to speak the language with? People like me who want to learn but find it difficult without that.
Sure. Thanks for that, Ben. And yeah, definitely there's nothing like an immersion experience, but for many, many reasons, that's not always possible. What's kind of the next best thing, Sage?
So you mentioned a language partner, and I talked about meetup.com earlier in the program. I think I haven't explored this, but I think there are virtual conversation partners. You can you can meet with people either for free or for a small fee via Skype or other video conferencing. There are people who do that professionally now. That's like one-on-one tutoring. So that's one way. And another thing that I think we don't think about often is foreign exchange students. It's a way to, if you can't go there, it's a way to bring your target language and your target culture to you. Of course, that person, that youth is wanting to learn English, right. So you're not going to be speaking German the whole time. But it just puts you in that sort of bilingual or thinking about how do I say this in German mindset. And you don't have to do a program for a whole year and invite somebody for a whole year. There are summer, you know, month-long programs, things like that. So
great. Well, good luck with that. And we do have Jerry on the line, so let's go to Jerry in Johnson Creek. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
It's really an excellent program to listen to, and your speaker is right on. I am 70 years old. I started to study Spanish a year and a half ago, and I use multiple tools to learn. Sometimes I will spend 8 hours a day just learning it because it's so exciting and fun.
Wow.
But Duolingo is absolutely, I've used many, and I still use many apps. Duolingo is absolutely the best. I have a tutor in Costa Rica. I read all sorts of books. I finally met a neighbor while I was on my bike who is Mexican. She's coming over here tomorrow morning so that we can talk to each other.
And Jerry, I'm going to tell you something. We were actually going to play a clip of you calling into the show when we talked about learning new things. And you talked exactly about learning Spanish. And that was one of our inspirations for doing this segment. So thank you for that. And Jerry is having a great time learning Spanish. It sounds like.
Yes, Jerry, you're doing it. Just the way you need to do it. A lot of times I think we want to have a silver bullet or a one-size-fits-all approach to, oh, if I just go to X country for 3 months, I'll be fluent. And that's not the case. It's exactly what Jerry's doing. It's taking a multiple pathways to in this pursuit of this meaningful project for you and having fun while you're doing it.
And I will say one of the most important things I have found in trying to, you know, increase how proficient I am in a language is not being afraid to make mistakes. You just have to speak.
That's right. Yes. Speak before you think you're ready to say something. Don't be afraid to make those mistakes, and we can laugh about it and find the fun in it. I think that's where kids do have an advantage because they're fearless and they don't, you know, they don't mind making mistakes. And that's actually where my 60-year-old students also have an advantage. They know how to laugh at themselves and how to pick up and dust themselves off and try again.
Let's go back to the phones, and Amy in Door County is next. Hi, Amy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
I really respect people that can speak more than one language. I've always felt inhibited to give it a try, you know, post-high school, because I would say I know for a fact I don't have a great memory. It feels kind of necessary in learning a new language.
Sage, are there techniques that you give your students to maybe, if people feel like they're just not soaking it in like we feel like we do when we're a kid?
I think it's, yeah, everybody's brain is different. And it sounds like you know your learning style, and you know that it's a challenge for you to remember things. So the key there would be practice and persistence for you, and not to take it too seriously. If you forget something that you've learned already 7 times, you've forgotten it, and maybe you'll learn it on the 8th time. Our last mistake is always our greatest teacher.
One of the other things that people can sometimes find difficult, I think, learning a language at an older age is, for instance, some of the things like rolling an R or being able to actually hear exactly what a native speaker is doing with their mouths. Are there any tips for that?
I think, again, practice and persistence are key. Watching yourself pronounce things in the mirror can be very helpful. Imitating, as I said, those YouTube tutorials can help. And again, working with a native speaker. It's okay to have an accent. It's beautiful to have an accent. It's charming to have an accent. We shouldn't try for perfection.
Exactly. And it's pretty unlikely that you won't have an accent. So just
exactly.
accept
yeah.
it and move on.
Yes.
Well, Sage, thanks so much for joining us today. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun for me, too. Thank you very much.
That was Sage Gellner, an associate professor of French and continuing education at UW-Madison. She's also the chair of the Department of Liberal Arts and Applied Studies. We spoke with her earlier this year about the joy of learning a new language and how to get started.